National Public Radio presents a production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
Perhaps the most endlessly surprising aspect of this genre of imaginative literature is that there are truly no limits, no perimeters, no parameters. To memorialize that precept, we begin with the great English poet and playwright John Dryden, 1631 to 1700. In 1670, he was the poet laureate of England, and in 1678, he wrote a blank verse version of the story of Antony and Cleopatra, and he titled it All for Love. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. George Santayana, 1906.
"'Twas once that Octavius Caesar and our Lord Antony held sway o'er all the satellites of Saul, dividing twixt themselves the whole. But then the love of Cleopatra, our queen of Venus, in Antony awoke and kindled to fury passions that dormant had lain in his breast. Whilst he with her on Venus gave himself to love, Octavius on earth began to plot their fall and seize the rule entire. As soon as Caesar finished preparations, he issued a decree declaring war on Cleopatra and revoking all of Antony's authority, which he had let a woman exercise in his place. Now Antony lay with his fleet near Actium, betwixt his planet and the queen's. And there, when the armaments gathered for war, Octavius sought to meet him in the sky, where he advantage held, as all well knew. But so wholly was Antony now the mere appendage to the person of Cleopatra, that although he had much the upper hand on land, and yet complaisance to his mistress sweet made him wish for victory in space. And so it came to pass, high above the dead and barren Actium, they engaged. The fortune of the day was undecided, and the battle equal, when on a sudden Cleopatra's ships were seen making out to space in full flight. As if he had been a part of her, and must needs move with her wheresoever she went, as soon as he espied her rocket ship away from battle soaring, Antony abandoned all that were fighting and spending their lives for him, and spun his craft around to follow her back to Venus. Within the sulphurous clouds of which their twain craft disappeared, his fleet a long resistance gave to Caesar, but at last gave up the contest. As matters present stand, all airborne from yon moons, the Terran fleet hangs o'er us black and threatening, like a storm just breaking on our heads. Our fate Venusians pray for Antony, but in their servile hearts, they own Octavius. Why then does Antony dream out his hours and tempt not fortune for a noble day which might redeem what Actium lost? He thinks 'tis past recovery, yet the foe seems not to press the siege. Days past has not beheld the face of Cleopatra, but here within yon palace lives retired and makes his heart a prey to black despair. And as for Cleopatra, oh, she dotes. She dotes, my friends, on this vanquished man, and whines herself about his mighty ruins, whom would she yet forsake, yet yield him up, this hunted prey, to his pursuer's hands? She might preserve us all, but 'tis in vain. Had I my wish, these tyrants of all nature, who lord it o'er us all, should perish. Perish each by the other's sword. But since our will is lamely followed by our power, we must depend on one, with him to rise or fall. But who's that stranger? By his warlike port, his fierce demeanor and erected look, he's of no vulgar note.
Alexius, stay! I would a word with thee.
Oh, it has been tedious. Our Emperor's great lieutenant in the sky, who first showed Earth that Jupiter could be conquered.
Where is Antony?
No one may see Antony.
Not see him, Robert. I say I must and will.
He has commanded on pain of death. None shall approach his presence.
I bring him news will raise his drooping spirits, give new life.
He sees not Cleopatra.
Would that he had never seen her.
Your Emperor, though grown unkind, would be more gentle than to upbraid my queen for loving him too well.
Does the mute sacrifice upbraid the priest? I tell thee, Robert, he has quite unmanned him. But wherefore waste thy precious hours with thee? Thou art a darling mischief, a chief engine, Antony's other fate. Go tell thy queen Ventidius has arrived to end her charm.
Art thou
Ventidius?
Are you Antony? I'm liker what I was than you to him I left you last.
I am angry.
So am I.
I would be private. Leave me.
So I love you and therefore will not leave you.
Will not leave me. Where have you learnt that answer? Who am I?
My emperor. The man I love next heaven. If I said more, I think 'twas scarce a sin. You're all that's good and godlike.
All that's wretched. You will not leave me, then?
'Twas too presuming to say I would not. But I dare not leave you. And 'tis unkind in you to chide me hence so soon when I so far have come to see you.
Now thou hast seen me, art thou satisfied? For if a friend thou hast beheld enough, and if a foe, too much.
Oh, look, Emperor, this is no common dew. I have not wept this 40 years, but now my mother comes afresh into my eyes. I cannot help her softness.
By heaven, he weeps. Poor, good old man, he weeps. So there's contagion in the tears of friends. See, I have caught it too. Believe me, 'tis not for my own griefs, but thine.
Emperor.
Emperor. Why, that's the style of victory. The conquering soldier, red with unfelt wounds, salutes his general so, but never more shall that sound reach my ears.
I warrant you.
Here it lies, a lump of lead by day, and in my short, distracted nightly slumbers, the hag that rides my dreams.
Out with it, give it vent.
Urge not my shame, I lost. A battle.
So has Julius done.
Thou favorest me and speak'st not half thou think'st. For Julius fought it out and lost it fairly. But Antony.
Nay, stop not.
Antony. Well, thou wilt have it. Like a coward. Fled while his soldiers fought. Fled first, Ventidius. Thou longst to curse me, and I give thee leave. I know thou camest prepared to rail.
I did.
I'll help thee. I have been a man, Ventidius.
Yes, and a brave one,
I know thy meaning. But I have lost my reason, have disgraced the name of soldier with inglorious ease. Help me, soldier, to curse this madman, this industrious fool who labored to be wretched. Prithee, curse me.
No.
Why?
You are too sensible already of what you've done, too conscious of your failings, and like a scorpion whipped by others first to fury, sting yourself in mad revenge. I would bring balm and pour it in your wounds, cure your distempered mind, and heal your fortunes.
I know thou wouldst.
I will. You laugh.
I do. To see officious love give cordials to the dead.
You would be lost, then.
I am.
I say you are not. Try your fortune.
I have, to the utmost. Dost thou think me desperate without just cause? No. When I found all lost, beyond repair, I hid me from the world and learned to scorn it here, which now I do so heartily, I think it is not worth the cost of keeping.
Caesar thinks not so. He'll thank you for the gift he could not take. Up, for honor's sake. 12 legions wait you and long to call you chief. By painful journeys I led them, patient both of heat and hunger, down from the Jovan martyrs to this sphere.
Bring them hither. There may be life in these.
They will not come.
Why didst thou mock my hopes with promised aids? To double my despair? They're mutants.
Most firm and loyal.
Trifler.
They petition you would make haste to head them.
I'm besieged.
There's but one way shut off. How came I hither?
I will not stir.
They would perhaps desire a better reason.
Why did they refuse to march?
They said they would not fight for Cleopatra. Why should they fight indeed to make her conquer and make you more a slave?
Ventidius, I allow your tongue free license on all my other faults. But on your life, no word of Cleopatra. She deserves more worlds than I can lose.
I take the privilege of plain love to speak.
Plain love, plain arrogance, plain insolence.
For showing you yourself, which none else durst have done? No prince but you could merit that sincerity I used. Nor durst another man have ventured it. But you, ere love misled your wandering eyes, were sure the chief and best of human race.
But, Cleopatra, go on, I can bear it now.
No more.
Thou darest not trust my passion, but thou mayst. Thou only lovest. The rest have flattered me.
And will you leave this?
Do not curse her. And I will leave her, though heaven knows I love beyond life, conquest, empire, all but honor. But I will leave her.
That's my royal master.
Well, madam, we are met.
Is this a meeting? Then we must part?
We must.
Why? Who says we must?
Our own hard fates.
We make those fates ourselves.
Yes, we have made them. We have loved each other into our mutual ruin.
The gods have seen my joys with envious eyes. I have no friends in heaven, and all the world is to the business of mankind to part us, is armed against my love. Even you yourself join with the rest. You are armed against me.
I will be justified in all I do to late posterity, and therefore hear me. If I mix a lie with any truth, reproach me freely with it. Else favor me with silence.
You command me, I am dumb.
I like this well, it shows authority.
But I derive my ruin from you alone.
Heavens, I ruin you.
You promised me your silence, and you break it ere I have scarce begun.
Well, I will obey you.
When I beheld you first, it was on Venus. Ere Caesar saw your eyes, you gave me love, and were too young to know it. That I settled your father in his throne was for your sake. I left the acknowledgement for time to ripen. Caesar stepped in and with a greedy hand plucked the green fruit ere the first blush of red, yet cleaving to the bough. He was my lord, and was beside too great for me to rival. But I deserved you first, though he enjoyed you. When after I beheld you on the planet Mars, an enemy to Earth, I pardoned you.
I cleared myself.
Again you break your promise. I loved you still and took your weak excuses, took you into my bosom stained by Caesar, and not half mine. I went to Venus with you and hid me from the business of the world, shut out inquiring nations from my sight to give whole years to you.
Yes, to your shame be it spoken.
How I loved. I saw you every day and all the day, and every day was still but as the first. So eager was I still to see you more.
'Tis all too true.
Why, within your arms I lay. The earth fell smoldering from my hands each hour and left me scarce a grasp. I thank your love for it.
The push, that last was home.
Yet may I speak?
If I have urged a falsehood, yes, else not. Your silence says I have not. Fulvia died. Pardon you, gods, with my unkindness died. To set the world at peace, I took Octavia, this Caesar's sister, in her pride of youth and flower of beauty did I wed that lady, whom blushing I must praise because I left her. You called. My love obeyed the fatal summons. This raised the Terran arms. The cause was yours. I would have fought my land where I was stronger. You hindered it. Yet when I fought in space, forsook me fighting, and, oh, stain to honor, oh, lasting shame. I knew not that I fled, but fled to follow you.
What haste she made.
All this you caused. And would you multiply more ruins on me? This honest man, my best, my only friend, has gathered up the shipwreck of my fortunes. 12 legions I have left, my last recruits. And you have watched the news and bring your eyes to seize them too. If you have aught to answer, now speak. You have free leave.
Now lay a sigh in the way to stop his passage. Prepare a tear and bid it for his legions. 'Tis like they should be sold.
How shall I plead my cause when you, my judge, already have condemned me? Though I deserved this usage, was it like you to give it?
Oh, you wronged me. To think I sought this parting, or desired to accuse you more of what will clear myself and justify this breach.
Miss Lowe, I thank you, and since my innocence will not offend, I shall not blush to own it.
After this, I think she'll blush for nothing.
You seem grieved, and therein you are kind, that Caesar first enjoyed my love, though you deserved it better. I grieve for that, my lord, much more than you. For had I first been yours, it would have saved my second choice. I never had been his, and ne'er had been but yours.
Words, actium, sir. Remember actium.
Even there I dare his malice. True, I counseled to fight in space, but I betrayed you not. I fled, but not to the enemy, to fear. Oh, would I had been a man not to have feared, for none would then have envied me your friendship, who envy me your love.
We are both unhappy, if nothing else, yet our ill fortune parts us. Speak, would you have me perish by my stay?
Oh. If, as a friend, you ask my judgment, go. If, as a lover, stay. If you must perish, oh, 'tis a hard word. But stay.
See now the effects of a self-boasted love. She strives to drag you down to ruin with her. But could she escape without you? Oh, how soon would she let go a hold, and haste to shore, and never look behind!
Then judge my love by this.
By Hercules, the writing of Octavius. See, Ventidius. Here he offers Venus, and joins all Mercury to it. As a present, so in requital, she forsake my fortunes and join her arms with his.
And yet you leave me. I have refused a kingdom. That is a trifle, for I could part with life with anything excepting you. Oh, let me die but with you. Is that a hard request?
Next living with you. 'Tis all that heaven can give.
No, you shall go. Your interest calls you hence. Go, leave me, soldier. For you're no more a lover. Leave me dying. Push me all pale and panting from your bosom. And when your march begins, let one run after, breathless, almost for joy, and cry, "She's dead!" The soldiers shout. You then, perhaps, may sigh, and muster all your terror and gravity. Ventidius chides, and straight your brow clears up as I had never been.
God, this is too much.
Oh, what is for me, then? A weak, forsaken woman, and a lover. Oh. Here, let me breathe. My last. Envy me not this minute in your arms. I'll die apace, as fast as e'er I can, and end your trouble.
Die. Rather let me perish. Loosen nature, leap from its hinges, sink the props of heaven, and fall the skies to crush the nether world. My eyes, my soul, my all.
And what's this toy in balance with your fortune, honor, fame?
Down on thy knees, blasphemer, as thou art, and ask forgiveness of wronged innocence.
I'll rather die than take it. Will you go?
Go. Whither? Go from all that's excellent. Faith, honor, virtue, all good things forbid that I should go from her who sets my love above the price of kingdoms. Give, you gods. Give to your boy, your Caesar, these rattles of planets to play withal, these gewgaw worlds, and put him cheaply off. I'll not be pleased with less than Cleopatra.
She's wholly yours. My heart's so full of joy that I shall do some wild extravagance of love in public, and the foolish world, which knows not tenderness, will think me mad.
Oh, women! All the gods have not such power of doing good to man as you of doing harm.
Our men are armed. Engage the missiles aimed at Caesar's fleet. I would revenge the treachery he meant me, and long security makes conquest easy. I'm eager to return before I go, for all the pleasures I have known be thick on my remembrance. How I long for night, that the sweets of mutual love may try and triumph forever over Caesar ere we die.
Caesar made a new attack above the clouds of Venus, where Antony made a fierce sally upon him and beat his spaceships back. and so return with great contentment to Venus.
We can conquer, you see, without your aid. We have dislodged their ships. They look on us at distance, and like curs escaped from the lion's paws, they bay far off and lick their wounds and faintly threaten war.
Yet if by this advantage you could gain an easier peace, while Caesar doubts the chance of arms...
No, think not on Ventidius. The boy pursues my ruin. He'll know peace.
Have you no friend in all his army who has power to move in?
The wretched have no friends. Yet I had one. The bravest youth of earth. And Caesar loves beyond the love of women. He could resolve his mind as fire does wax from that hard, rugged image, melt him down, and mold him in what softer form he pleased.
Just such a one we want.
He loved me, too. I was his soul. He lived not but in me. We were so closed within each other's breasts, the rivets were not found that joined us first.
He moves as I would wish him.
After this, I need not tell his name. 'Tis Dolabella.
He's now in Caesar's camp.
No matter where, since he's no longer mine. He took unkindly that I forbade him Cleopatra's sight, because I feared he loved her. He confessed he had a warmth which, for my sake, he stifled.
It argues that he loved you more than her.
I should have seen him then ere now.
Perhaps. Perhaps he has thus long been laboring for your peace.
Would he were here.
Would you believe he loved you? I read your answer in your eyes. You would not to conceal it long. He has been sent as a messenger from Caesar's camp with letters.
Let him appear.
I'll bring him instantly.
Tis he himself. Himself, by holy friendship. Art thou returned at last, my better half?
I must be silent, for my soul is busy about a nobler work. She's new come home, like a long-absent man, and wanders o'er each room, a stranger to her own, to look if all be safe.
Thou hast what's left of me, for I am now sunk so low from what I was. Thou find'st me at my lowest watermark.
Still you are lord of the sun to me.
Why then, I yet am so, for thou art all. If I had any joy when thou wert absent, I grudged it to myself. Methought I robbed thee of thy part. But, oh, my Dolabella, thou hast beheld me other than I am. Hast thou not seen my morning chambers filled with sceptred slaves who wanted to salute me?
Slaves to your fortune.
Fortune is Caesar's now. And what am I?
What you have made yourself, I will not flatter.
Is this friendly, then?
Yes. When his end is so, I must join with him.
This from a friend?
Yes, Antony, a true one. A friend so tender that each word I speak stabs my own heart before it reach your ear. Oh, judge me not less kind because I chide to Caesar. I excuse you.
Oh, ye gods, have I then lived to be excused to Caesar?
As to your equal.
Well, he's but my equal.
I bring conditions from him.
Are they noble?
What power was theirs who wrought so hard a temper to honorable terms?
It was my Dolabella or some god.
Not I. Yet 'twas a Terran's deed.
'Twas like a Terran done. Show me that man who has preserved my life, my love, my honor. Let me but see his face.
That task is mine, and heaven thou know'st how pleasing.
There stands a widow's husband.
What? Octavia there?
What, is she poisoned to you, a disease? Look on her, view her well, and those she brings. Are they all strangers to your eyes? Has nature no secret call, no whisper? They are yours?
For shame, my lord, if not for love, receive them with kinder eyes. If you confess a man, meet them, embrace them, bid them welcome to you.
I come to claim you as my own. To show my duty first, to ask, nay, beg your kindness, your hand, my lord. 'Tis mine, and I will have it.
Do take it. Thou deservest it.
On my soul, and so she does. She's neither too submissive nor yet too haughty, but so just a mien shows, as it ought, a wife and Terran too.
Ah, my hard fortune subjects me still to your unkind mistakes. But the conditions I have brought are such you need not blush to take. I love your honor. Because 'tis mine, it never shall be said Octavia's husband was her brother's slave. Sir, you are free. Free even from her you loathe.
Octavia, I have heard you. and must praise the greatness of your soul. But cannot yield to what you have proposed. For I can ne'er be conquered but by love, and you do all for duty.
Would you triumph for poor Octavia's virtue? That pride was all I had to bear me up, that you might think you owed me for your life, and owed it to my duty, not my love. I have been injured, and my haughty soul could brook but ill the man who slights my bed.
Therefore you love me not.
Therefore, my lord, I should not love you.
Therefore you would leave me.
And therefore I should leave you, if I could.
Her soul's too great after such injuries to say she loves, and yet she lets you see it. Her modesty and silence plead her cause.
Oh, Dolabella, which way shall I turn? I find a secret yielding in my soul, but Cleopatra, who would die with me, must she be left? Pity pleads for Octavia, but does it not plead more for Cleopatra?
Justice and pity both plead for Octavia, for Cleopatra, neither. One would be ruined with you, but first had ruined you. The other, you have ruined. And yet she would preserve you. In everything, their merits are unequal.
Oh, my distracted soul.
Sweet heaven, compose it. Come, come, my lord. If I can pardon you, methinks you should accept it.
I am vanquished. Take me, even to thy brother's camp.
In a moment, the Hollywood Theater of the Ear will return with the conclusion of All for Love. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Local underwriting is provided by European Sleepworks, the Berkeley store that offers individually adjusting mattresses in the European style, and bedroom furniture in a variety of styles and hardwoods. More details are on the web at sleepworks.com. We'll hurry right back to NPR Playhouse.
What if your family had slaves?
Slavery was just a way of life. It's the way it was.
I'm Jim Fleming. On the next To the Best of Our Knowledge, one man's attempt to apologize for the sins of his family's past. What does it mean when you say, I'm sorry? Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, from PRI, Public Radio International.
And the second hour of To the Best of Our Knowledge will be about marriage, divorce, and celibacy. Aiming for a minority audience, I guess. To the Best of Our Knowledge, Sunday morning from 3 to 5, Sunday evening from 7 to 9. This is KQED-FM in San Francisco.
Have you missed programs in the 2000X series? Would you like to have your own copies? Well, you can now find 2000X and other fine NPR programs on the World Wide Web. I'll give you the Internet address at the end of today's program so that you may have pencil and paper handy. For now, here once again is your host, Harlan Ellison.
And now, Act Two of John Dryden's All for Love.
Discoursing with my women, might not I share in your entertainment?
You have been the subject of it, madam.
How? Such praises of your beauty. You flatter me. But 'tis your planet's vice. All of you earthmen are flatterers and all false. Your friends like you. I'm sure he sent you not to speak these words.
No, madam. Yet he sent me...
Well, he sent you...
of a less pleasing errand.
How less pleasing? As to yourself or me?
Madam, to both. For you must mourn, and I must grieve to cause it.
You, Charmian, and your fellows stand at distance. Well, now your mournful matter, for I'm prepared. Perhaps can guess it, too.
I wish you would, for 'tis a thankless office to tell ill news. And I, of all your sex, most fear displeasing you.
Of all your sex, I soonest could forgive you, if you should. In the first place, I am to be forsaken. Is not so?
I wish I could not answer to that question.
Then pass it o'er, because it troubles you. I should have been more grieved another time. Next, I'm to lose my kingdom. Farewell, Venus. Yet, is there any more?
Madam, I fear your too deep sense of grief has turned your reason.
No, no. I'm not run mad. I can bear fortune and love. Maybe expelled by other love, as poisons are by poisons.
You will join me, madam, to find your grief so moderately borne. You've heard the worst. All are not false like him.
No, heaven forbid, sure.
Some men are constant.
And constancy deserves reward, that's certain.
Deserves it not. But give it leave to hope.
But first tell me, were you chosen by my lord, or sought you this employment?
He picked me out, and as his bosom friend, he charged me with his words.
The message then, I know, was tender, and each accent smooth, to mollify that rugged word, depart.
Oh, you mistake. He chose the harshest words. He coined his face in the severest stamp. He heaved for vent and burst like bellowing Aetna in sound scarce human. Hence away forever, let her be gone, the blot of my renown and bane of all my hopes.
Oh, no, I can bear no more.
What have I done? Believe me, 'tis against myself I speak. That's your desire's belief. I injured him. My friend ne'er spoke those words. Oh, had you seen how almost vanquished by his love he parted and leaned to what unwillingly he left? I, traitor as I was, for love of you. But what can you not do who made me false? I forged that lie. For whose forgiveness kneels this self-accused, self-punished criminal?
Oh, with how much ease believe we what we wish. Rise, Dolabella. If you have been guilty, I have continued, and too much love has made me guilty too. The advance of kindness which I made was fain to call back fleeting love by jealousy. But 'twould not last. Oh, rather let me lose that so ignobly trifle with his heart.
I find your breast fenced round from human reach, transparent as a rock of solid crystal, seen through, but never pierced.
Could you not beg an hour's admittance to his private ear?
And Tibius and Octavia, timely met. Hast seen the emperor?
No, I sought him, but I heard that he was private.
He must be found. Come, Cleopatra.
She looked and thought, as she would say, "Take your old man, Octavia. Thank you, I'm better here." Well, but what use make we of this discovery?
Let it die.
Antony may have some remains of passion still, which may foment into a worse relapse if now not fully cured. I know this minute, with Caesar, he's endeavoring her peace.
What? Make a strumpet's peace? Oh, it swells my heart. It must not, shall not be.
Octavia, I was looking for you, my love. What, are your letters ready? I have given my last instructions.
Mine, my lord, are written.
Ventidius.
My lord.
Word in private. When saw you Dolabella?
Now, my lord, with Cleopatra.
Speak softly. 'Twas by my command he went to bear my last farewell.
It looked indeed like your farewell.
More softly. My farewell? What secret meaning have you in those words of my farewell? He did it by my order.
Then he obeyed your order. I suppose you bid him do it with all gentleness, all kindness, and all love.
How she must have mourned, the poor forsaken creature.
She took it as she ought. She bore your parting as she did Caesar's, as she would another's, were a new love to come.
Thou dost belie her most basely and maliciously belie her.
I thought not to displease you. I've done.
You seem disturbed, my lord.
A very trifle. Retire, my love.
It was indeed a trifle. He sent no more.
Look how thou disobeyst me. Thy life shall answer it.
Then 'tis no trifle.
'Tis less, a very nothing. You too saw it, as well as I, and therefore 'tis no secret.
She saw it?
Yes, she saw young Dolabella.
Young Dolabella?
Young. I think him young. And handsome, too, and so do others think him, but what of that? He went by your command, and indeed it's probable, with some kind of message. For she received it graciously, she smiled, and then he grew familiar with her hand, squeezed it and worried it with ravenous kisses. She blushed and sighed and smiled and blushed again. At last she took occasion to talk softly and brought her cheek up close and leaned on his, at which he whispered kisses back on her. And then she cried aloud that constancy should be rewarded.
This I saw and heard.
What woman was it whom you heard and saw so playful with my friend? Not Cleopatra.
Even she, my lord.
My Cleopatra.
Your Cleopatra, Dolabella's Cleopatra, every man's Cleopatra.
Now, liest!
What has my age deserved that you should think I would abuse your ears with perjury? If heaven be true, she's false.
Though heaven and earth should witness it, I'll not believe her tainted.
I'll bring you then a witness from hell to prove herself.
Great Emperor.
Nay, Robert, go not back. For stay you must and shall.
What means, my lord?
To make you do what you must hate. Speak truth.
My noble lord.
I did myself o'hear your queen make love to Dolabella. Speak, for I will know by your confession what more passed betwixt them. How dare the business draws to your employment, and when the happy hour?
Speak truth, Alexis, whether it offend or please Ventidius, cannot justify thy injured queen from malice. Dare his worst.
Though love and your unmatched desert have drawn her from the due regard of honor, at least heaven opened her unwilling eyes to see the wrong she offered fair Octavia, whose holy bed she lawlessly usurped. The sad effects of this improsperous war confirmed those pious thoughts.
Oh, will you there? Observe him now. The man begins to mend and talk substantial reason. Fear not, Android. The Emperor's given me leave to speak.
Else had I never dared to offend his ears with what the last necessity has urged on my forsaken mistress. Yet I must not presume to say her heart is wholly altered.
No, dare not for thy life. I charge thee, dare not pronounce that fatal word.
Must I bear this? Good heaven, afford me patience.
On, sweet android, my dear half-man. Proceed.
Yet Dolabella has loved her long. He, next my godlike lord, deserves her best. And should she meet his passion, rejected as she is by him she loved...
Hence from my sight, for I can bear no more. Let furies drag thee quick to hell. Let all the longer damned have rest. Each torturing hand do thou employ till Cleopatra comes, then join thou too and help to torture her.
'Tis not well indeed, my lord. 'Tis much unkind to me to show this passion, this extreme conferment for an abandoned, faithless prostitute.
Octavia, leave me. I am much disordered. Leave me.
My lord.
I bid you leave me.
Wherein have I offended you, my lord? That I am bid to leave you. Am I false or infamous? Am I a Cleopatra? Were I she, base as she is, you would not bid me leave you, but hang upon my neck, take slight excuses, and fawn upon my falsehood.
Too much, Octavia. I am pressed with sorrows too heavy to be borne, and you add more. I would retire and collect what's left of man within to aid
you. You would mourn in private for your love, who has betrayed you. You did but half return to me. Your kindness lingered behind with her. I hear, my lord, you make conditions for her and would include her treaty. Wondrous proofs of love to me.
Are you my friend, Ventidius? Or are you turned to Dolabella too and let this fury loose?
Oh, be advised, sweet madam, and retire.
Yes, I will go. But never to return. You shall no more be haunted with this fury. My lord, love will not always last when urged with long unkindness and disdain. Take her again, whom you prefer to me. She stays but to be called. Ha, ha, poor cousined man. Let a feigned parting give her back your heart, which a feigned love first got. For injured me? Though my just sense of wrongs forbid my stay, my duty shall be yours. To the dear pledges of our former love, my tenderness and care shall be transferred, and they shall cheer by turns my widowed nights. So take my last farewell, for I despair to have you whole, and scorn to take you half.
False, Dolabella.
What's false, my lord?
Why, Dolabella's faults and Cleopatra's faults. Both false and faithless.
My lord, have I deserved to be thus used?
Can heaven prepare a newer torment? Can it find a curse beyond our separation?
Yes, if fate be just, much greater. Heaven should be ingenious in punishing such crimes.
If she has wronged you, heaven, hell, and you revenge it.
If she has wronged me, thou wouldst evade thy part of guilt, but swear thou lovest not her.
Not so as I love you.
Not so. Swear, I say, thou dost not love her.
What shall I answer? If to have loved be guilt, then I have sinned. If to have repented of that love can wash away my crime, I have repented. Yet if I have offended past forgiveness, let not her suffer. She is innocent.
Ah, what will not a woman do, loves? What means will she refuse to keep that heart where all her joys are placed? 'Twas I encouraged. 'Twas I blew up the fire that scorched his soul to make you jealous and by that regain you.
The cobweb arts of falsehood. Seen and broke through it first.
Forgive your mistress.
Forgive your friend.
Avert my sight. I could not kill the man whom I have loved and cannot hurt the woman.
How? Forever? I cannot go one moment from your sight, and must I go forever?
I must not hear you. I have a fool within me takes your part, but honor stops my ears.
For pity, hear me. Would you cast off a slave who followed you?
No more. Alexis!
A perjured villain!
Your Alexis. Oh. Yours.
'Twas his plot, his ruinous design to engage you in my love by jealousy. Hear him, confront him, let him speak.
I have.
And if he clear me not?
Your robot, one who hangs upon your smiles, watches your eye to say or to unsay whate'er you please. I am not to be moved.
And must we part? Oh. Farewell, my cruel lord. The appearance is against me, and I go. Unjustified, forever from your sight. How I have loved, you know. How yet I love, my only comfort is I know myself. I love you more, even now you are unkind, than when you love me most, so well, so truly. I'll never strive against it, but die pleased to think you once were mine.
Anthony, considering with himself that he could die no more admirably than in battle, set upon a fray in space. He mounted up in his spacecraft, from whose turret he could command all our Venusian galleys engaged with Caesar's fleet. Now, death or conquest? With Anthony, our well-appointed fleet flew out to meet the foe. And soon indeed they met, but not as foes. In view, we saw their flares on either side shoot up. The Venusian galleys received like friends, passed through and fell behind the Terran rear. And now they all come forward and land within the port. His fury cannot be expressed by words. Thrice he attempted headlong to have fallen full on his foes and aimed at Caesar's galley. Withheld, he raves on you, cries, he's betrayed. Shun him. Seek your safety till you can clear your innocence.
I'll stay.
You must not. Haste you to your monument while I make speed to Caesar.
Caesar, no! I have no business with
him. I can work him to spare your life and let this madman perish.
Base, fawning wretch. Wouldst thou betray him too? Hence from my sight, I will not hear a traitor. 'Twas thy design brought all this ruin on us.
Retire. You must not yet see Antony. He who began this mischief, 'tis just he tempt the danger. Let him clear you. And since he offered you his servile tongue to gain a poor precarious life from Caesar, let him expose that fawning eloquence and speak to Antony.
Oh, heavens, I dare not. I meet my certain death.
Slave, thou deservest it.
Oh, pity me and let me follow you.
To death, if thou stir hence. Speak, if thou canst, now for thy life, which basely thou would save while mine I prize at this.
That I less could fear to lose this being, which, like a snowball in my coward hand, the more 'tis grasped, the faster melts away. Poor reason, what a wretched aid art thou! For still, in spite of thee, these two long lovers, soul and body, dread their final separation. Let me think. What can I say to save myself from death, no matter what becomes of Cleopatra?
Please, see that villain. See Cleopatra stamped upon that face with all her cunning, all her arts of falsehood. How she looks out through those dissembling eyes. How she sets his countenance for deceit and promises a lie before he speaks. Let me dismantle him.
Oh, spare me! Spare me!
Oh, he's not worth your killing. On thy life, which thou mayst keep because I scorn to take it. No syllable to justify thy queen. Save thy base tongue its office.
Sir, she is gone, where she shall never be molested more by love or you.
Then to her, Dolabella. Die, traitor, I revoke my promise. Die!
She could not bear to be accused by you, but shut herself within her monument. She snatched her poignard, and ere we could prevent the fatal blow, plunged it within her breast. Then turned to me. Go bear my lord, said she, my last farewell, and ask him if he yet suspect my faith. More she was saying, but death rushed betwixt. She half pronounced your name with her last breath, and buried half within her.
Heaven be praised!
And art thou innocent, my poor, dear love? And art thou dead? Oh, those two words, the sound should be divided. Hadst thou been false and died, or hadst thou lived and hast been true, but innocence and death? This shows not what above, then what I am, the murderer of this truth, this innocence. Thoughts cannot form themselves in words so horrid as I can express my guilt.
Has it come to this? The gods have been too gracious, and thus you thank them for it?
Why stayst thou here? Is it for thee to spy upon my soul and see its inward mourning? Get thee hence. Thou art not worthy to behold what now becomes a Terran emperor to perform.
He loves her still. His grief betrays it. Good. The joy to find she's yet alive completes the reconcilement. I've saved myself and her. But oh, the Terrans! Fate comes too fast upon my wit and meets me at each double.
Would she have died a little sooner, though, before Octavia went? You might have treated. Now it will look tame and would not be received. Come, rouse yourself and let's die warm together.
I will not fight. There's no more work for war. The business of my angry hours is done.
Caesar is at your gates.
Why, let him enter. He's welcome now.
What lethargy has crept into your soul?
It's but a scorn of life and just desire to free myself from bondage.
Do it bravely.
I will, but not by fighting. Oh, Ventidius.
Would you be taken?
Yes, I would be taken. But as a Terran ought, dead, my Ventidius.
I could be grieved, but that I'll not outlive you. Choose your death. Though I've seen him in various shapes, I care not which I take. I'm only troubled. The life I bear is worn to such a rag, 'tis scarce worth giving.
I have thought on, Ventidius, you must live.
I must not, sir.
Wilt thou not live to speak some good of me?
Who shall guard mine for living after you?
Say, I command it.
If we die well, our deaths will speak themselves and need no living witness.
Thou hast loved me, and fain I would reward thee. I must die, kill me, and take the merit of my death to make thee friends with Caesar.
Thank you for your kindness. You said I loved you, and in recompense you bid me turn a traitor. Did I think you would have used me thus, that I should die with a hard thought of you?
Forgive me, Terran. Since I have heard of Cleopatra's death, my reason bears no rule upon my tongue, but lets my thoughts break all at random out. I've thought better. Do not deny me twice.
By heaven, I will not. Let it not be to outlive you.
Kill me first, and then die thou. For 'tis but just thou serve thy friend before thyself.
Give me your hand. We shall soon meet again. Now, farewell, Emperor. And yet I cannot look on you and kill you. Pray, turn your face.
I do. Strike home. Be sure.
Home, as my aim will reach.
Oh, thou mistakest. That wound was not of thine. Give it back. Thou robbest me of my death. He is to be satisfied. Oh, I missed my heart. A one-performing hand. Thou never couldst have erred in a worse time. My fortune changed me to the last. And death, like a great man, takes state and makes me wait for my admittance.
Where's my lord? Where is he?
There he lies. And dead Ventidius by him.
Our fears were prophets. I'm come too late. Oh, that accursed Alexis!
Art thou living? Or am I dead before I know? And thou the first kind ghost that meets me?
Help me seize him. Send quickly. Send for help.
I am answered. We live both. Sit thee down, my Cleopatra. I'll make the most I can of life to stay a moment with thee.
How is it with you?
'Tis as with a man removing in a hurry. All packed up but one dear jewel that his haste forgot. And he, for that, returns upon the spur. So I come back for thee.
Too long ye haven't. You have been cruel to me. Now show your mended faith and give me back his fleeting life.
It will not be, my love. I keep my soul by force. Say, but thou art not false.
'Tis now too late to say I'm true. I'll prove it and die with you. Unknown to me, Alexis feigned my death, which when I knew, I hastened to prevent this fatal consequence. My sleep betrayed both you and me.
And Dolabella?
Scarce esteemed before he loved, but hated now.
Enough. My life's not long enough for more. Thou sayst thou wilt come after. I believe thee. For I can now believe whate'er thou sayest, that we may part more kindly.
I will come, doubt not my life. I'll come, and quickly too. Caesar shall triumph on no part of thee. My lord. My lord, speak, if you yet have being. Sign to me if you cannot speak, or cast one look. Do anything that shows you live.
He's gone too far to hear you. And this, you see, a lump of senseless clay.
No.
The leavings of a soul.
Oh, remember, madam, he charged you not to grieve. And I'll obey him. I have not loved a Terran not to know what should become his wife. His wife, my Charmian. For 'tis to that high title I aspire, and now I'll not die less. Let dull Octavia survive to mourn him dead. My nobler fate shall knit our spousals with a tie too strong for Terran laws to break.
Will you then die?
Why shouldst thou make that question?
Caesar is merciful.
Let him be so to those who want his mercy. My poor lord made no such covenant with him to spare me when he was dead. Heal me to Caesar's pride. What? To be led in triumph through the streets? A spectacle to base plebeian eyes, while some dejected friend of Antony's close in a corner shakes his head and mutters a secret curse on her who ruined him. I am none of that.
Whatever you resolve, I'll follow, even to death.
I only feared for you, but more should fear to live without you. Why now, 'tis as it should be. Quick, my friends, dispatch. Ere this, the town's in Caesar's hands. You, Iris, bring the cure of all our ills.
The aspics, madam,
must I bid you twice? Now seat me by my lord. I claim this place. For I must conquer Caesar too, like him, and win my share of the world.
Within this cask, the aspic lies.
Give it to me. Welcome, thou kind deceiver. Thou best of thieves, who, with an easy key, dost open life and, unperceived by us, even steal us from ourselves, discharging so death's dreadful office better than himself, touching our limbs so gently into slumber, that death stands by, deceived by his own image, and thinks himself but sleep.
The queen, where is he? The commons yielded Caesar's at the gate.
He comes too late to invade the rites of death. Haste, bear my arm, and rouse the serpent's fury. Dead hands, the work is done.
Break open the door and guard the traitor well.
The next is ours.
Now, Charmian, to be worthy of our great queen and mistress. Already, death, I feel thee in my veins. I go with such a will to find my lord that we shall quickly meet. Where shall I find him? Where? Oh, turn me to him and lay me on his breast.
Caesar, thy worst now passes, if thou canst.
Behold, Venusians, what havoc death has made.
'Twas what I feared. Charmian, is this well done?
Yes, 'tis well done. And like a queen, the last of her great race, I follow her.
'Tis true, she has done well. Much better thus to die than live to make a holiday on earth.
The impression of a smile left in her face shows she died pleased with him for whom she lived, and went to charm him in another world. Caesar's just entering. Grief has now no leisure. Secure that android as our pledge of safety to grace the imperial triumph. Sleep, blessed bear. Secure from human chance, long ages out, while all the storms of fate fly o'er your tomb, and fame to late posterity shall tell, no lovers lived so great, or died so well.
You have been listening to All for Love, based on a play by John Dryden. You have heard Robertson Dean as Alexis, Norman Lloyd as Ventidius, Robert Foxworth as Anthony, Christina Pickles as Cleopatra, Christopher Tabori as Dolabella, and Lorna Raver as Octavia.